Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was going to start the sermon today with the kids up front, but then thought, well, I'll do it like I normally do their message, but it ties in because all of these decorations and things that you see, which are so beautiful at Christmas time, they are to help us think about not simply the glory of God, but that one day we ourselves will be changed to be like our Lord. And what a glorious day that will be. All of these were set up a couple of weeks ago after church on the 22nd. And I normally am involved in helping people set up everything, but this year I left right after the church service because Lorraine was home sick, and I wanted to go home and check on her. She had a prescription that was called in, so I ran to the drugstore to get the prescription. By the time I got back, everything was done, everybody's gone. So I decided I'll just come over and take a look, make sure everything's set. So I took a look, and I noticed the baby Jesus was not in the creche. He was missing, and I thought, oh no. I mean, was he put away in the wrong box last year? Put somewhere we don't know where he is? Is Jesus missing? So I started looking around. Couldn't find him. Finally, I walked into my office. Sitting on my desk was Jesus. He wasn't missing. And I thought, well, I guess the folks who set up after church thought, well, let's see, it's not Christmas yet. That's 2 days. So should we put him in or not? So they left it up to me to decide and left him on my desk. Pretty funny. We are funny sometimes. Sometimes we're difficult to understand. Even difficult to accept and to love. Sometimes we act impulsively. You do something that ends up upsetting others. And sometimes an impulsive act is more than just upsetting. On New Year's Eve, some folks in Krefeld, Germany, decided to celebrate the holiday by lighting sky lanterns and releasing them, their flames floating through the sky. It's so beautiful in the night sky. And they landed in a nearby zoo and caused a terrible fire that killed 30 animals. Of course, actions and words that hurt, they're not always just sudden impulses, just words that we blurt out thoughtlessly. Sometimes they are, but not always. Sometimes we think about what we're going to say, what we're going to do. We want to make an impact. You know, being a parent, it was interesting, the story of Jesus at age 12 in the temple. I will bet that Joseph and Mary, as they were searching for him those 3 days, were thinking about what they were going to say when they found their son. What words would convey the worry and also the expense? They had to stay in Jerusalem a couple of more days. What words would convey these trials that he caused them by remaining in Jerusalem without letting them know? Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Mary's words were a rebuke, a gentle one, but nevertheless, they were a rebuke. Now, of course, we're not always gentle, are we? At times, the urge to rebuke gets the better of us. we intentionally say and do hurtful things, and pain results. We need help. First of all, we need to be forgiven, to be loved, because we sin even when we're not trying at times. But we also need help to love and to forgive. And that help is in our Lord Jesus. He is the love of God and the forgiveness of God. It's love, really, that prompted Jesus to stay behind in Jerusalem. Certainly, love for God, his Heavenly Father, for being in his house, love for his word. But it was also love for people. He wanted to be with them, especially those who were coming to hear and discuss the words of God. His staying behind in Jerusalem, it may seem like it was an impulsive act. I mean, hey, he got caught up in what he was doing. He didn't notice his family leaving. Sounds like a 12-year-old. But it was far more than simply that. Jesus loved people. And he loved the Word of God. Both loves had been showered upon him throughout his life, modeled for him by his parents. Mary's love of God, her trust in him as her father, it was seen in her response to the angel Gabriel, who came to her and told her she had been chosen for a miraculous pregnancy, the very Messiah. And she responds, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Even though great hardship would come. Joseph's love. It was seen in how he responded to her when he found out she's pregnant with a child that is not his. He didn't do what normally would have been done. He didn't quickly shun her. Instead, he planned for how he could help her, protect her, even though he felt he had to separate from her, because he believed that's what God would want. But when he found out clearly from God that was not what he wanted, he took her as his wife in his home. Both Joseph and Mary loved God and loved one another. They loved people. It was in their hearts, in their minds. This love directed their lives. And so they raised Jesus in that love. You parents, grandparents, do the same. As God's loved filled Jesus and kept him in that temple in Jerusalem as he heard God's word being discussed there, so God's love will also fill and keep your children in his house and close to him. But even if Jesus' decision to stay in that temple was an impulsive act made in the moment, it was still prompted by a love for people that was far more than just momentary or a response to love he saw from them as they loved to hear the Word of God. The Word of God in our readings today in Ephesians 1 says, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. Jesus shares in this eternal love of his Father. He loved those he was with in the temple at age 12, and he loves you with a love which is far more than momentary or just an impulsive act. It is eternal. It's that eternal love that prompted him, the Son of God, the Eternal One, to become human, to live among us, to be just like us. A boy who grew up loving and honoring his heavenly Father as well as his earthly parents and other authorities, just like we must do. And so we're told Jesus lived with his parents and was submissive to them, even though they didn't always understand him. Even when, like us at times, he was mistakenly thought to be doing wrong and so was rebuked gently by his mother at age 12, but certainly rebuked far more harshly and violently years later when he was rejected and turned over to Pilate to be crucified. Still, he responded not in anger, but in love. He was innocent, always. And yet, he bore the accusations, false though they were. Finally, on the cross, he bore the sins of the world, our sins, to spare us of their ultimate punishment, to spare us of God's anger and of hell itself. All that we deserved, he took. How great is his love! Paul praises God for the blessings that he lavishes upon us in Jesus. He says in Ephesians 1, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of God's grace. In him we've obtained an inheritance, heaven. It's ours. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And that means the eternal God of love is not sitting in a manger. He's not on my desk. The eternal God dwells in the hearts of his people. We are so blessed to receive this great and eternal love of God. Now in this new year, let us follow our Lord Jesus. More and more be images of his love, be sharers of the love of God. We begin by loving his word, as we're doing now. God's word, it is a vessel which contains the love of God, which pours out into our hearts and minds God's love for us in Christ. As you hear that word and meditate upon it, God's love is poured out into your heart, that then you may share it. And in this, be like King Solomon. Solomon prayed for an understanding mind. We too need this to ready us for service. Pray that God give you a mind, one led by the Holy Spirit, so that you can pour forth Christ's love from your own life, so that Jesus be seen in your loving words and your loving actions for others. For instance, people who are difficult to understand, to accept, to love. People who are at times just plain irritating. God is their Father, their Creator. He loves them eternally in his Son. He sent his Son to die for them. Let us live for them. Respond with love to those who misunderstand you, who falsely accuse and rebuke you. Respond with love, even though it's not deserved. Love that you have received and have not deserved, but which is lavished upon you in Christ. This is the love of God that redeemed the world, that redeemed you, so that you are God's own child. It is this love that can bring others to God, that can make them his children as you are his children. May God bring this about to the praise of his glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.